All right, back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. Remember, you can listen online at KFYO.com. We turn our attention to Texas political news, and there's a lot of Texas political news out there today. Joining me on the phone to talk about that, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com and Republican strategist Matt Makowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
You're doing great, Chad. Good morning.
Well, thanks for coming on today. The big news that came out yesterday, Dallas Morning News and Wendy Davis. Not a good story if you're Team Davis, correct?
You know, it's interesting. No, clearly not. I mean, this really cuts into the biography that she's been selling for a very long time in terms of some of the specific aspects of her biography in terms of how she became a single mother and some of her the aspects of her previous marriage, some things that she testified to, I think, in a legal deposition earlier in her career. There's a lot. It raises a lot of questions. Now, on the other hand, you know, I was talking to a conservative blogger this morning who said, you know, this story could have been a lot more negative. He didn't see the word lie or liar in the story, and it seems pretty clear that's what she did. And so it makes me wonder. I know the reporter, Wayne Slater, Dallas Morning News pretty well, and I like him, and he's a friend, but I wouldn't call him a conservative by any means at all. I mean, I think that he's not the first person that you would go to with opposition research on Wendy Davis. And so it makes me wonder if they knew this was coming at some point and they wanted to get it out in a soft way early in the race, not at the last minute.
Yeah, I think the strongest word that Wayne Slater used was that she blurred the lines, which you go through it, there's no blurring there. You know, in under oath, she said that she was 19, she was a single teenage mother, and she got divorced a couple of years later at 21 years old. She said that, you know, she had to put herself through college. Well, it looks like she had somebody else do that. Her husband put her through, at least partially through, Harvard and TCU, if I'm correct on that. So there are a lot of discrepancies in there, and I would say outright lies that she has been saying. Now, you may have some out there saying, well, what's the big deal? Why does it matter that at one point she claimed that she was 19 years old, when in fact she was 21 years old when she was divorced, when she made it sound as though she lived in a mobile home for a long time, when in fact it was only a couple of months before she moved in with her mom? Why does it matter?
Well, it matters because your honesty and your veracity is something that it takes a career to build and a minute to lose. And so, ultimately, the best messenger in any campaign is always the candidate. At least it starts that way. But if you ruin the candidate as a messenger, it really limits your options. And it's one of the things that the Obama campaign did so effectively to Mitt Romney, is, you know, they made him seem like the guy who fired your dad, you know, the guy who's so greedy, you know, the guy you can't trust. And so they really sort of destroyed him as a messenger for the campaign. And so I'm not sure this is Abbott's campaign putting opposition research out about Wendy. That was my initial thought. But, again, I don't know that this is the most opportune time for that, although it is fairly early. So if you set aside the intent, the damage that's done is that she's going to play defense for the next week on this at least. And it takes away a key talking point, and that is that she's been really embellishing her own personal story for political reasons. No one doubts that she's had a difficult life and she's achieved to get to where she is. But at the end of the day, if you've had a difficult life, you don't need to embellish it.
Right.
And so it goes to the core of who she is and what her values are. And if you look at Greg Abbott, he's had a pretty difficult life, too, being struck down and paralyzed at the prime of his life. So I just, you know, ultimately these things are damaging. And the question is sort of, where does it go from here and how does she handle it?
How do you think, because the Davis campaign, Democrats, obviously, they're targeting women. You know, they want big female turnout. They want a lot of women to flip over to the Democratic side. How do you think this plays towards the female demographic?
It's a good question. I'm hesitant to answer a question about women as a man, but, you know, I think that part of it is this campaign will come down to whether women think that Wendy was fighting for reproductive health or whether she was fighting for late-term abortion. And I think that the Abbott campaign is happy to have that discussion. And it seems to me the Davis campaign has been a little bit uncertain about whether they want to fight that battle. You notice she didn't say the word abortion or choice, I believe, not even one time in her announcement speech. She's really sort of steered away from those issues. And the one time that she sort of mentioned it, when she said she was, quote, pro-life, because she cares about people once they're born, she got, you know, 2 or 3 days of terrible press and criticism down in South Texas when she did that. So that to me is the more interesting question. It's less about her bio and how that plays and more about whether her filibuster fight can in any way become a net positive in those suburban counties in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and Austin, where this race is going to be decided. If she can't win some suburban counties, look, she'll win urban counties. Democrats are winning urban counties. Mm-hmm. That's not the question. Obama won 24 counties of 254 in Texas 2 years ago. The question is, can she win suburban counties? And those suburban counties are where there's a disproportionately high number of women. And so that's what the battle is going to be over, is whether she shares her values. And so ultimately, the values question is answered, partially at least, by this question of whether she's being honest or not. So I do think it is damaging.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder, MustReadTexas.com. Matt, last week we got an idea of how some of these statewide races are going with the financial reports that came in. How much do you pay attention to the different financial reports across, not only in the governor's race, but across some of the other races, whether it be lieutenant governor, ag commissioner, land commissioner, whatever they may be, some of these statewide races, how much are you paying attention, and how much should we read into how much some of these candidates are raising?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's an inside game, right? I mean, average people just working every day couldn't care less about how candidates are doing on fundraising, but it is something that you look at to see how the campaigns are doing. And without public polling, it's sort of the only measuring stick that perhaps you can look at. You can look at things like social media. You can look at things like what issues they're putting out there and what things they're talking about, what kind of response they're getting. But, you know, it's clear to me that you're going to have really competitive races for lieutenant governor and for attorney general. I think lieutenant governor's race is without question going to be in a runoff. And it's a question now of how much more money Dewhurst puts in, because he actually only had the third most cash on hand in that race, which I think surprised a lot of people. The attorney general race, you know, Dan Branch of Dallas still has a really strong financial lead, and so the question is he going to try and win a three-way race without a runoff? If he does that, obviously, that will be good for him if he was able to succeed. If he doesn't, he will spend most of his money and spend away his advantage. So we look at fundraising to see, number one, where are they getting support? What can they, you know, what kinds of things can they afford to do based on their financial report? And then also sort of how are they spending it and, you know, what kind of things are they focusing on? So it's really an insider's game, but it can tell you a lot, and it can be very instructive in helping you predict the future.
Yeah. And that whole fundraising thing is, when it goes back to Wendy Davis and honesty, kind of fuzzy math again on that.
She said she raised $12 million. Turns out she raised $8.5 million. She did it for two reasons. I think we talked about maybe last week. She wanted, number one, say she raised over $10 million, which was her goal. And number two, she wanted to be able to say she raised more than Abbott. But it turns out it wasn't true. And so she's going to, the bottom line is, every time she opens her mouth from here on out, reporters are going to double check what she's saying. And so I do think that she's going to be on defense a lot of the rest of this campaign. I think that's very damaging to her going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Mikowiak, co-founder, MustReadTexas.com. What can we find this morning on MustRead Texas?
Updating the site as we speak. Lots of news from over the weekend about, obviously, this Wendy Davis story that's getting a lot of attention. There's a lot of conservative blogs that are picking it up, and we'll be picking it up today. There's some news in the Pete Sessions, Katrina Pearson race in Dallas, which is a congressional primary. So lots of races out there, lots of news. Hope you sign up for the newsletter. MustReadTexas.com.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks, buddy. Take
care. Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Mikowiak.